If someone would ask me, it's like, so what is one of your challenge as being a preacher? One of them is every week you got to go to the Lord and ask Father, Lord, what am I preaching next Sunday? You know, it's like, Lord, what is it? You know, I don't know, but for me, that's the way I do it. Sometimes I feel like I have a word that's just like, yes, directly from the Lord, and I bring it to you. I'm excited about it, and then I'm done, and I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? You know? So this week was a week like that. Every day I'm like, Lord, what? You know, spent time in my office, in my car. I come here, I'm like, Lord, Jesus, what is it? You know, what is it exactly I should talk about? And I believe yesterday he gave me something. Yesterday. I said, sometimes if it doesn't happen during the week, I come here. I come here in the sanctuary and just be in the presence. I said, Lord, what is it? So this is what he told me. This might be a rebuke or an encouragement, but either way, I'm just a messenger. Guard yourself with gratitude. So many of you are so ungrateful. But when I say of you are so grateful, that's generally speaking. I'm not saying you. I should say so many people. They don't realize it. But we, us Americans, we complain. So as we get into this new season, let's say you're starting a new year. This is Thanksgiving week. I said, okay, what does that mean? Guard your heart. Gratitude with gratitude. Protect your heart with gratitude. So if you open your Bibles in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. So of course I'm researching the Bible for the word, you know, from the gratitude, you know, perspective to see what the Bible says. I believe everyone who grew up in America should go out of the bubble, go overseas somewhere on a mission trip. If any of you haven't been to a mission trip, please talk to me. We're going next year. You know, I know sometimes it's like some people says mission trip is for young people. If you haven't left America, we need to leave. We need to go somewhere else to change our perspective. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Paul says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church in Laodicea. For many other believers who have never met me personally, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Now, you can underline those two words in your Bible or in your book, in your phone. By the way, thank you guys for sitting in the middle. I love you. Thank you. It's just so pretty. You're not so scattered. Thank you. So some of you were plotting in behind my back, Kathy. We're going to have a talk Tuesday. So good. Underline the word. Be encouraged and knit together in love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. So who is God's mysterious plan? Christ. So to know of God's mysterious plan, we must know Christ. And to know Christ is to know the Word. Because the Word is Christ. It says, I'm telling you this so you no one will deceive. Underline this word in your Bible. Deceive. And maybe later this week, you can go and research that word to see what it means. But I would assume most of you should know what deceive means. Satan is the author of deceived. He's the chief deceiver. He's a deceiver. He deceived people. There are a lot of deceived people out there. And once again, the word says, I'm telling you all this so you do not be deceived. By what? Well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. What does this verse mean right here? It means it's not enough to just believe Jesus as your Lord. You must follow him. It's not enough to just know that Jesus came, but Jesus must reign in your life. It's not enough to have the head knowledge. I preached a couple of months ago a message, find it on YouTube. Is Jesus your Lord? So if Jesus is your Lord, guess who's got to be in the driver's seat? Jesus. If Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd of our congregation, he must lead, not me. So I must follow him. I must watch him. I must listen to him so I can know exactly how to lead. Because then if I'm following him, watching him, listening to him, then I won't get distracted. And I'm not tied up into people's response. And when Jesus is lifted up in our midst, he draws every heart to himself. I tell you, this morning I could dismiss service right there because I feel like my church, I just had my church. You guys just ministered to me. I'm done. See you later. But not really. It's just like, guys, I feel like you just give me hot ivy. You just give me like, yes, ah, yes, I'm excited about my church again. Yes, Lord. I was. But it's just like your words of encouragement. Thank you. I mean, Sam said it. And I need to be reminded again. How many times when we were growing up as kids, you know your parents love you, right? But what happened when they say, son, I love you? We all need love. We all need appreciation. Sometimes I don't feel like saying it. But there's nothing like listening to it, right? I told you this story, right? This guy who got married, and after a number of years, and the wife was just like complaining and, you know, just talking to the pastor saying, you know, pastor, it's like my husband, it's like we're going through this thing and stuff. I'm not happy, whatever. Long story short. So she's like, well, could you think you could meet with us? And yeah, they got together with the pastor, and she's crying, all right? And the husband is like, man, I'm doing everything. I'm providing, I'm being kind. I mean, I really don't know what the problem is. And she started crying. She says, pastor, my husband, one of the problems I have, he never tells me he loves me. The guy was just like shocked. That was the problem. He said, that's the problem? Well, he says, pastor, when we got married, I told her I love her. And if I ever change my mind, I'll tell her. You know, if I ever change my mind. I mean, for the guy, he thought, don't be like that, guys. Let's not be like that guy. The woman, she wants to hear it. She wants to hear how much you appreciate her. You know, some guys, that's how they think. I tell you this, I mean, especially where it says here, Paul says, I want you to be knit together in love. Show each other's appreciation. Show each other's love. It says, and rejoice that, Paul says, I rejoice that you are living the way you should. And now, just as you accepted Christ, you must follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Don't you love the word? And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Everyone says thankfulness. This is a week for Thanksgiving. So I tell you, what I would like to take time this morning to do is persuade you from scripture that God has appointed gratitude as one of the essential guardians for your soul. God wants you to be grateful. You must live a grateful life, a life full of gratitude. Live a spirit of thankfulness. My goal this morning is to maybe rekindle, because maybe most of you are already grateful people. Aren't you blessed? On my worst day, on my best day, oh, every day is a good day. Why? Because Jesus is the reason that I live. Come on, guys. On your best day, you're a child of God. On your worst day, maybe this season, this might be a season where you feel like this is the worst season in your life. But God wants you to be grateful. Because if you're not grateful, guess what? Ungratefulness will destroy your soul. Man, have you ever seen somebody who's got everything but they're so ungrateful? Ungratefulness may put you in the position to always not being able to see the blessings of God that surrounds you. Gratitudes in the Bible. It says, give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart. I tell you, it can be easy. It's an easy thing. To be ungrateful. Ungrateful. It's a lot easier to be ungrateful than being thankful. Especially when we face difficult times. None of us likes difficult times. The Bible is full of examples of people who live with gratefulness. And their stories, we can learn from it. What does the Bible say about gratitude? You go in the Bible dictionary, it says gratitude means extending favor towards or giving grace and kindness as a response. Now you'll understand, as the freedom of the Lord is being, poured in our midst, when we come together, when you think about everything the Lord has done in your life, you would have no other reason but to sing. And lift up your hands saying, oh man, I'm so blessed. Bless the Lord, oh my, how great thou art. When you're singing, I told you earlier, the best way to displace the spirit of heaviness is to enter praise. So if you feel like, your soul is downcast, the best way to get free from it is to introduce it and pray to praise. If you go back to Bible in original language, which is the Greek, the word gratitude is exality, which don't worry about it. Most of you won't remember that one, which means being thankful. But now, the other thing also, someone can say thank you, but they're not grateful. Because saying thank you is one way to be polite. Some people are not polite. But when I say thank you, that doesn't mean I am thankful. Gratitude is a positive response to experiencing God's goodness and grace. Gratitude is your positive, is the way you respond to God's goodness. So I want you from today to start living a life full of gratitude. Thank God if you still have your mate. Thank God for your marriage, for your husband. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your car. Thank God for some of the things he has given you to do everyday life. Don't be so great, ungrateful. And Thanksgiving has more to do, you know what, I'm reminding you. Thanksgiving has more to do with turkey and stuffing. Thanksgiving, go back to the story. Read it again, why they came up with Thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, let the message of Christ dwell richly in you, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalm, hymn, songs through the Spirit, singing to God with gratitudes in your heart. That's what we're doing. How great is our God? When I was singing with gratitude, I'm saying, man, how great is my God? Man, Jesus, you're so great. Sing with me. Come on, somebody sing with me. How great is my God? All will see. One day every tongue will confess that God. Guys, one day. That's a promise. It will happen. One day. But blessed he who chooses to do it right now. Or I choose to honor God. I choose to praise his name. I choose to declare his greatness. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Wow. So this should change your attitude in the way you act in the world. I don't know, maybe you're working around someone who is super negative. There's nothing more toxic than being surrounded by people who just like constantly be negative. Ungrateful. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So why do we pray for our food? Don't just make it like a traditional thing you do. Thank you, Lord, for our food. God bless this food. No, I'm so thankful. I am thankful for my food. I am stopping right now. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for providing for us. Thank you, God, that I don't even have to worry about my next meal. But Father, at the same time, remember our brothers and sisters, people who are not as fortunate. Live a life full of thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I read verse 16, but I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. I like what it says. It says, let your heart be always guided by the peace of Christ, who called you to peace as part of his own body. And always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. See, when the word of Christ live in you richly, you become wise. You want to be wise? Yes, I do. The word. Read the word. Do what it says. You will automatically become a wise person. The Bible has every advice. Thank God for the counselors. Thank God for the people that does, don't remember the name, but thank God for them. But man, you have the counselor of counselors right here. I tell you, read the book of Proverbs. Start next month, a chapter a day. You'll be surprised how much you will gain wisdom. You will know how to live. It says, let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with wisdom, applying the scripture as you teach and instruct each other with psalm and festive praise. You see? I like this word right here, festive praise. Now I understand, next week I'm going to do my plan, I'm hoping, I'm going to do like a piano and voice, no drums, no guitar. I'm going to do a piano worship, something like, you know. But there's nothing like a festive praise. When you walk into a place, there's the music is playing. What does that? Music plays within our emotion, right? Just like when we go on funeral. Funeral is a good time to remember the past friend or family member. But the music that they play in funeral is never like, on my best day, I'm a child, right? No, You know, even before, I mean, I say, when I'm dead, guys, you play that song for me. Well, I'm gone. But all of you going to be like, nah, that's not the song. That's not the proper song for the season, for the moment. Right? You're going to play "This Is My," you know. "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Because that's the song that you need for the moment. But here it says, when we come together, it says, I want to use the word, it says, teach each other, encourage each other with festive praises, with prophetic song giving to spontaneously by the Spirit. That's why during our worship, we take time. Let me train you. Sometimes when you don't know, doing like a what they call a Selah moment, a moment, Selah moment, when you don't know, you know, let's say the music is just played, don't open your eyes and look what everybody's doing. This is not the time you do that. You know what you do? Just close your eyes, begin to, "Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I worship you. Father, you're so good." Or maybe just remain quiet. Allow the Holy Spirit to spontaneously minister to you. That's what you do. You create that moment where you become intimate with Him. See? Now when we develop that in our private or secret place at home, all the things you got to do, make spending time with Jesus a priority. If you can't have time during the day to do it, wake up 30 minutes, 40 minutes before. Put your Bible in the living room somewhere. Go. Don't take the phone with you. Just say, "This will wait." And spend time. Or if it's at night before you go to sleep, if you are able to remain awake, make that a priority. Let every activities of your life and every word that comes out from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of Christ, what Christ has done. You see, the word gratitude is mentioned 177 times in the Bible. But the word "fear not" is mentioned 366 times. But the word "thanks" is only mentioned about 70, I read there's 72 or 76 times. So now, the question is, why would the word "fear not" mention more? See, when you're afraid, when you and I are afraid for tomorrow, we're afraid for our future, for our health, for our churches, for our children, for our country. When we get our mind into that stage, that's a dangerous place to be. God doesn't want you to worry. He's got it. As a matter of fact, it says it in the Gospels. Can your worry? I mean, I'm really, really worried about getting bald. I know. Mercer, man, I like your hair, dude. Cherish it. Every week, when I do my hair, I'm having less and less. And before you go home today, check with me. I'm leaving a little bit up here, a little ponytail up here in the back. Because I don't want to cut it. Even if it's a little soft, I'm resisting, Felix. I'm resisting this bald idea. But can my worry change that? I will get bald. I'm going to be a baldy. You know? Sooner or later. But guys, I want to take this time to mention to you some of the people in the Bible we can learn today. Maybe you can identify with the lepers in Luke chapter 17 when Jesus healed 10 of them. One came back thanking him. Maybe you can identify with the sinful woman. She came and broke that alabaster jar because Jesus set her free from demonic oppression. And because she was set free, she know, man, I was in chain. Now I'm free. You know what she did? She came back to the Lord. She's like, "What must I offer?" What must you offer? Your heart is the dearest thing to you. Sometimes it is our money. That's why you give God your money. He doesn't need it, but you give your money to say, you know what, Lord? You are my source. I was poor, I was struggling, but now you've blessed me with all this. Guess what? I'm giving a portion of it back to you. King David. You guys know the story of David in 1 Samuel. There's another one. Hannah. She was the wife of Ephraim, the woman who couldn't have kid. What a promise, guys. What a risk. She said, Lord, this woman here, the other wife, the other husband's wife, was mocking her, calling her name. She went to the Lord, begged the Lord. She says, God, give me a son. Remove the shame from me. Give me a son. And if you do, I will donate it to you. Wow. She did that. Samuel. She had one kid. She gave it to the Lord. Gratitude. You know, Samuel became the prophet. And then God blessed her with many other kids. Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1. My goodness. Can any of us ever compare to the story of Job? This month, the rest of this month, I'm giving you a homework, an assignment. Read the book of Job. This is your assignment. You're going to read the book of Job. Whatever you're reading, just add that into your devotion. Read or listen to it. And listen to what happened. But let's just read right now. We're talking about guard your heart. Guard your life with gratitude. How many of us would curse God already if you only go through what Job went through 1% in your life? I hope that I never get to lose my children. One day, both of them, all of them. On top of it, all your possession. But now, guys, let's go to the Bible, see what it says. I'm going to read from the New Living. It says, there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Can everybody say with me, wow. Yeah, it's like, I read this, I'm like, wow. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes. And they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer burnt offering for each of them. Meaning he would intercede for them. Because at that time they were adults. So Job's like, you know what? I don't know what they're doing, but at least I know I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to offer sacrifice in case they would curse God. Wow. What a leader. Verse 6. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord. And accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked. Satan answered the Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant, Job? He's the finest man. What a testimony. He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stay away from evil. See right there? I'm not going to comment. This is the word of the Lord. This is what I want for my life. This is what you want for your life. You want to be blameless. You want to be a person of complete integrity. You want to live a life full of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to love what God loves, is to despise what God despises. Does God hate anybody, despise anybody? No. It's to love what God loves, but God despises sin, evil, abuse, slavery, racism. And the list can go on and on. Verse 9. Satan replied to the Lord. Listen to this. I'm adding. Satan laughed a little bit. Of course. Yeah, Job. I mean, Job has good reasons to fear you. Oh, yeah. Why? I mean, you've always put a wall of protection around him, his house, his property. I mean, you've made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is, of course. You see, the enemy doesn't know your heart until you start speaking it. Satan doesn't know your strength, nor your weakness until you're tempted and give in to temptation. God never tempts anybody. But I tell you, when you make a choice to follow Jesus, you will always find yourself in situation to test your determination to follow him. And the more you choose the right path, the more victorious you will get. Verse 11. But reach out and take, Satan's keep talking. He's like, but reach out and take everything he has, and he will surely curse you. To your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses. Don't harm him physically. So Satan left the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's house with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bins of Chaldeans raiders have stolen your camels, killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and your daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly a power wind swept in front of the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Job stood up, tore his robe in grief. Stop right there. I don't think any of us can even imagine such grief. My mind cannot even get there. Somebody like Job right there, he would have, we don't know. But, verse 21, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb. I will be naked when I live. The Lord gave what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. If you want to guard your heart with gratitude, I tell you, this is it. Every season in your life, God knows best. Wow. And then you guys can read. You guys can read it. But then chapter 2, Satan went back in there. God asked him the same question. And then Satan's like, yeah, of course, skin for skin. You can take a man's everything, but not his health. The Lord's like, okay, well, sure, go for it. Man, I wonder if God could bid on me like that. Can he bid on us like that? Guys, don't let anything take God's place. Serve God faithfully in and out of season, in good time and bad time. You'll know what you make of when things are tough. Yes, mourn. Yes, cry. Yes, be human. Because we are human. Be yourself. But do not be ungrateful. Keep an attitude of gratefulness. And then, of course, I'm not. Chapter 41 in Job. You read it. You go find out. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I could search the whole Bible. And there's a song, Don Moen wrote it. It says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. And now let the rich, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the blind say I can see. In other words, whenever we feel like we're lacking or losing life, give thanks. Give thanks. You feel like, man, I can't do it? Give thanks. Instead of complaining, give thanks. Thank God for the good time. Thank God for the hard times. The Lord has done it every day. Let us rejoice. Be glad. Blessed is he, the one who came in the name of the Lord. Make sure that nobody pay evil. You know, something I told you. When you're ungrateful, actually ungratefulness makes you bitter. Because ungratefulness caused your heart to envy others' stuff. You know, we enter a season of sales. You know, sell, Black Friday, whatever. If you need something, buy it. But before you buy anything, ask yourself, do I need that? If you do, praise God. Take advantage of the sale. Save a couple bucks. But if you don't get into that spirit. Be thankful for what you have. Living with gratitude. Living by God's grace. By giving thanks. You know, Psalm 50. I think Melissa shared that with us a couple weeks ago. God said, Psalm 50 verse 23, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. God wants us to honor him. He wants us to live a life full of gratitude. Now listen to this. Gratitude is at the core of your spiritual growth. Gratitude. You want to know a Christian who's growing spiritually? They're a grateful Christian. They're thankful. They're always thankful to God. They're always thankful to what the Lord has done in their lives. Giving thanks is something that honors me. The life that pleases me is the life in the gratitude of grace. That's the Passion Translation. Always choosing to walk in the right way. This is the sacrifice I desire, says the Lord. If you do this, more of my salvation will unfold for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Father, that you've given us everything we need for godliness. Everything we need for godliness. Lord, this morning we repent from attitude. I invite the worship team to come up. We repent from the attitude of ungrateful. Lord, we choose to be thankful. We choose to serve you with a heart that acknowledges that every season you hold in your hands. Every season you hold in your hands, Father. Lord, I pray for people who are going through some tough time right now and maybe find it hard to be thankful. As we enter a season of thanksgiving, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives.